Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we have an exciting show lined up for you today. This is the story of another incredible miracle that has been wrought through the intercession of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside. As we know, Our Lady, the Virgin Mary, has made her presence known in our time through her apparition at Bayside and Flushing Meadows, New York, where for 25 years she appeared and delivered to the world a number of messages for our enlightenment. And so people from throughout the world have journeyed to the sacred ground since 1970 to be the beneficiaries of the incredible graces that she has come to bestow upon the people there. Moreover, many have been miraculously cured through the blessed rose petals of Bayside. As you may know, roses are brought to the apparition site by the pilgrims, which are blessed by the presence of Jesus and the Mother of God. And attached to the petals of these roses is the power of cure and conversion. And so Our Lady has asked that these rose petals be distributed to the ill and the infirm and those in spiritual need. Our files are bulging with testimonials of people who have been miraculously cured or favored in some way through these blessed rose petals of Bayside. And certainly today's testimonial that we bring you is no exception to this. This is the story of a 66-year-old woman who, after a life of perfect health, was suddenly brought to the point of death with no word of hope from the medical authorities. But then, through the rose petal, Our Lady came through for her and reversed her condition so that within a short time she was restored to her former state of health and vitality. And so this miracle has come to be known in the Bayside archives as the Roses Resurrection. And when you hear this incredible story unfold, you will understand why. Our president, Michael Mangan, interviewed the key witness involved, Mrs. Rosa Campanero, and also her daughter, Maria Page, who served as the anchor woman for this interview. So we are going to hear from them now.
Hello, David, and to all of our listeners. And I'm here in the home of Maria Page in New Jersey with her mother, Rosa Campanero. And hello, Rosa.
Hello, how are you?
And Maria.
Hi, how you doing?
And David, we have a tremendous story. A miracle that we'd like to share with all of our listeners and with all of the good people. And Rosa, starting in September 1995 is when this whole story begins, where this miracle really unfolds. Start us off, please. What happened?
I was driving from Trenton to the office when I started to have a sharp pain in my left hand side and in my shoulder and more in my back. So I say, it's funny, you know, I took an aspirin, but the pain doesn't subside, but came a little stronger. So I got it to the office, and then when I got to the office, I say to my boss, I have to go home because I have a pain in my shoulder. So when I got home, I took a more aspirin and I lay down. And then, you know, my son and my daughter came. And then I say, I don't know what I'm going to do because I have a terrible pain in my shoulder. So she say, let's go to the doctor, call the doctor, my son say. And then she say, I call. When she called, the doctor say, I want her taken immediately to the hospital.
And Rosa, what was the doctor's diagnosis?
Heart attack. A heart attack. I have it. They took a blood test and everything else, and then I find out, you know, I have a heart attack. A mild heart attack, but was a heart attack. Then...
what next?
Then, you know, they let me in the hospital. And he took it to Dr. Crowell, who make the angioplastic. And then he said, you're going to have an angioplastic. It's very, very fast procedure. And then, you know, from that on, I have more pain, and then I don't remember.
So you had the angioplasty, but after that first angio, you had some complications. You still weren't feeling well.
Yeah.
And what happened after that now?
I just went to the hospital again because I get off. I don't remember if I get off or what, but...
So I think now we turn to Maria. Maria has to step in because the rest is history for Rosa. God bless you, Rosa. And Maria, take us from here.
Well, my mother was released after she had her first angioplasty, and she went home. It was only for a couple of days, and she was complaining of severe pain in her legs and her hips. I called up the doctor and I told him, I said, I didn't understand what this pain was from, especially since it was the heart that they were working on. And they said, bring her back to the hospital and, you know, we'll check her out. We went to the emergency room and they took a blood test. When they came back with the results, they asked me if my mother had ever suffered kidney failure. And I told them, no, she had no problems with her kidneys. And they said, well, she was experiencing kidney failure, that the numbers were off, et cetera, and that they were going to admit her from there. Eventually, they did a kidney biopsy, and that was when the doctor, he came back and he says, you know, what she has is cholesterol emboli, which what they used the term of was crystals. And I asked him, I said, well, what does crystals mean? And so he told me, I just remember him shaking his head, and he says, you don't want to know. And he says, we're going to do some more tests to make sure that, you know, this is what it is and just hope it's not. But it turned out that it was.
And in your letter, Maria, you had defined or described what crystals is basically it just ravages all of your organs. It attacks the organs and cuts them.
Right. What happens is the cholesterol emboli, what happened is when they do the angioplasty, the plaque is broken off the walls of the arteries. Normally a person, somehow it dissolves, but in my mother's case, it did not dissolve. What they happened was that they turned into little crystals, and it's like little slivers of glass traveling through your bloodstream. So wherever the blood travels to, that's where the crystal lodges onto, and you eventually, what she experienced was a multi-organ failure. Because the crystals landed on her kidneys first, and then it just went to all other organs of the body.
So we're still in the month of September, 1995.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So she's been diagnosed with having a heart attack. The angioplasty has not been successful. She's had multi-organ failure. What next?
Well, she started the first thing she experienced was kidney failure, and when by the time December came, her legs were changing colors. They were, you know, turning blue because she wasn't getting any circulation to the legs and feet. She went through 3 cardiac arrests, and this was close to Christmas time. When she went through the cardiac arrests, I remember that was the first time right in the ICU, I went down on my knees and I started praying to Our Lady. And, because I said, you can't take her yet. I get emotional.
I understand. Sure. Sure. I appreciate that. I mean, it's quite apparent, your devotion, your love that you have for your mother, Rosa. Of course, Rosa virtually does not remember anything from mid-September until many months later.
From the end of September until March 1996.
That's correct. So we're now moving up into the month of December.
Right. And that was when she experienced the 3 cardiac arrests in 1 week. And I was there when it happened. I remember I was holding her hand, and the doctor came in and told me at the time that she needed another angioplasty right away because the artery had collapsed, the one that they were working on. And if she didn't have that, you know, the next cardiac arrest, she probably wouldn't make it through that.
At this point, hadn't the doctors determined that an angioplasty procedure would not be safe for Rosa, or there simply was no other alternative?
There was no other alternative. They said, we realize that she has the crystals, but if you don't do this, she's going to die within a week or so. So my brother and I, you know, we said our prayers and we said, well, let's hope, you know, for the best. And we okayed the procedure for her to go through that again. But it was worse the second time around versus the first time. She then started going into a coma, and by the time New Year's had arrived, she was pretty much comatose. And then they gave me a sheet that showed different kinds of stages of the coma. Well, by this time, it was in January, and she was slipping into a deep coma. And she was on life support. She was on dialysis every day. She was on a respirator. And the at this time, she was over at Morristown Memorial. And all the doctors and the nurses over there kept talking to me about removing life support. And I didn't want to do that. This is where I began my daily rosaries of I would pray in my mother's ear, and I pinned a rose petal onto her scapula over around her neck. And several times they cut it off, and I tied it right back on, and I told them I did not want them to remove that. And I told every doctor that would come and talk to me, I told them that I believed in miracles.
So you were really under, obviously you were quite persistent. You were under tremendous pressure from the doctors and nurses to remove the life support. Your mother was obviously deeply suffering. What was your motivation? What was sustaining you? Tell us some more.
Well, I kept asking Our Lady for me to have another chance with my mother. We always had an excellent relationship. We were always like best friends, and I just wasn't ready to give her up. That was my main thing, is I wanted her back, and I wasn't ready to let her go yet.
What sustained you, though, amidst this tremendous pressure? You see your dearest mother on the threshold of passing on. You're being subject to tremendous pressure and revilement and scorn from the medical authorities that are saying, come on, lady, get with it.
Right.
How are you holding up?
By praying to Our Lady of the Roses. And I did that every day, every day. And I really believed that she heard me. I really, really believed that in my heart, that she heard me.
So you were praying to Our Lady of the Roses. You were praying your rosary. Your mother had the brown scapula and the rose petal pinned to her during this whole crisis. So, Maria, your mother had lapsed into a coma, and not only that, as you said, a deep coma. The medical authorities describe it as stage 5, which is the worst kind.
This was in January. Every day I used to pray a rosary. I used to pull my chair right next to her and pray the rosaries in her ear, and I just knew that she was going to make it. My first sign that I felt that she was going to make it was because she went through intestinal infarction, and this was probably around the end of January or the beginning of February. They said anybody who suffers this will not make it for more than 2 or 3 days. It's like where the intestines just fail. They don't work anymore. And
so at this point, January, Feb, she's in a stage 5 coma. You're still praying up a storm.
Yes.
And in fact, you mentioned off air, Maria, that at one point your mother elicited, I thought it was the first time that your mother elicited a response to your prayers and your love with tears running down her cheeks. Just tell us about that.
Well, everybody used to say that I was not letting go. They kept saying that maybe your mother is not leaving because you won't let her go. And I believe that she heard me when she was in the coma, because one day I went in there, and after my prayers, I talked to her and I told her, I said, if you need to let go, you let go. It's okay, because I'm going to be fine. She always loved my husband, and I said, you know, I have a happy life. After I had my conversation with her, I told her, I said, if you're ready to let go, I said, it's okay. And I said, but if you're not, I'm going to be sitting right here next to you with a fight. And I saw her crying. She had tears filling up in her eyes, coming from inside and outside of her eyes. And I knew she could hear me. I knew she could hear me. And I remember that was when she went through the intestinal infarction. We actually made funeral arrangements, my brother and I. And I took the rose petal. It was around February. And I took the rose petal. And I remember I laid it upon her belly. And I was praying, and I remember reading in the Bible that it said, you know, that God can perform miracles, and, you know, he can make the mountains move. And the doctor came in, and he was surprised, and he thought he heard some what he called bowel sounds. And he says, I don't want to say anything just yet. He goes, I'll be right back. And he called in like 2 other doctors, and they were listening to her, you know, the sounds in her belly. And the doctor told me, he goes, I don't understand it, but it sounds like she's gotten back some bowel sounds. And I told him, I said, I told you, I believe in miracles. And I said, this is the first sign. I said, she's gonna make it through all this. She had movement in her intestines and bowels right from that day that the doctor was there. But the first time she responded to me was at the end of March when she shook her head yes. And then she didn't respond anymore after that for maybe about another 5 days. And after the fifth day, I just kept saying, I know you're coming back. I told her, I said, I know you're coming back. I said, open your eyes. And one day she opened her eyes and she nodded her head yes, that she heard me when I asked her. And that's where she started going, you know, she started coming back again after that.
Now, you had mentioned, too, that you had done a novena. You had prayed a novena to St. Teresa.
Yes.
And you were actually gifted with her trademark scent of roses.
Yes. This was right before she started coming back, when she nodded her head for the first time. I prayed a novena, and I had called up someone from who used to go to the vigils at Our Lady of the Roses. Her name is Lena. I had called her up and asked her, how do you go about praying this novena to St. Teresa? And she told me how, and it was like the ninth day after I finished my novena. I went to the hospital, and it was right outside of her room. I smelt roses. And I got all excited. I ran to the phone, called my brother up, and I said, I don't know if I'm going crazy or if it's wishful thinking, but I smelt roses. And he was like, really? He got very excited, too. And that day, I went to the ShopRite, and again, I smelt the roses. I had the scent of roses. Shortly after that was when she started coming to, when she answered yes. And I believe that all these prayers and all this has to do with, you know, her recovery.
The first scent of roses was outside of her room, you said?
Yes, it was right outside of her room. But that was probably around the maybe the second or third week of March, right before she came out of her coma. And I even walked around several people's room to make sure that no one had roses, because I started thinking maybe I'm smelling someone else's, you know, flower arrangement that people used to get. And there were no roses, no flower arrangements anywhere. And it wasn't allowed on that floor anyway, because she was in respiratory care.
St. Teresa and Our Lady of the Roses obviously heard your prayers and appreciated your persistence and your steadfastness through all of this. And amazing. Would you actually remember the day that your mother officially emerged from the coma?
Maybe about a week before her birthday or so.
Which is?
Her birthday is March 22nd, so I think it was like maybe several days before her birthday.
So what happened? So she emerged out of the coma. What are the doctors thinking? What's going on now at this point?
Well, when she was in a coma and they kept insisting on removing life support, they kept saying she was going to be a vegetable when she came out of, if she were to come out of the coma, because they insisted that she wouldn't come out of the coma. But little by little, she started remembering everything. And none of the doctors went, especially her cardiologist, he really believed, you know, he even told my mother, this is definitely a miracle that happened here. He says, this should not have happened. Even research that I got from reading from crystals, they don't have too much research on it, but basically anybody who gets these crystals, it's always fatal. And my mother made the books. She made medical history over here.
Wow, certainly. And in fact, will they write your mother up, or has there been any word that perhaps the doctors might examine this more in detail and perhaps do a write-up for the records?
I know the doctors said that they were definitely going to be writing it up. Her cardiologist had said that, because that's something that has to go into. He definitely said he would have to write something.
That's amazing. And this would be Dr. Krell?
Dr. Mark Krell. He was a good doctor.
Yes. Well, I mean, we have a letter from Dr. Mark Krell, in fact, certainly vouching for this miracle. And I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm just going to read a few of the key points here that he says. And it's dated at the end of 1997, and it reads, Dear Friend, I'm writing to you on behalf of a friend and patient, Rosa Campanaro. In 1995, Mrs. Campanaro became critically ill. After multiple specialists had seen her in an attempt to discern the cause of her coma, we found ourselves at a loss for an explanation and without a clear-cut answer as to a treatment plan. After multiple attempts with various medications were made, she miraculously awoke. In some ways, her recovery since then has been even more remarkable. Over the nearly 2 years since her waking from that coma, she has very gradually, with a tremendous amount of effort, returned to a functional state that is close to what she had before all of her troubles began. And the good doctor does sign that, Mark J. Krell, M.D., and he works in the Cardiology Diagnostic Associates in New Providence, New Jersey. And amazing. It really is amazing. Your mother now, by April anyways, your mother is pretty much attentive and alert.
Yes, she was a little foggy at first, but little by little everything was coming back more and more. And they even told me, they said, well, this is the test here now to see if her, you know, mind is still all there. And it turned out that it was. When she came.
That's quite apparent. And obviously, in talking with Rosa, you're quite lucid and alert and everything, Rosa.
Yes, I'm very alert.
Maria can't sneak anything by you or anything?
No. You know, I know everything.
You know? Okay. God love you. And, we're still not all there. I mean, okay, so your mother came out of a coma, but what about these crystals? What about the multi-organ failure? What about the colon cancer?
This is another funny little story here that shows another miracle, because by this time she was alert, and they were going to put a shunt in her. And I had read her blood tests every day. I used to always read her charts, because I used to just read this while I was there visiting with her. And she was scheduled to go into surgery for to insert a shunt for dialysis. At that day, I remember the day before, she was still showing that she was going through kidney failure. And that morning when she was scheduled, they happened to let me go down to the pre-op room. And, you know, I was dressing up in the gown to go in with her. And I decided while I was waiting for the doctor that I was going to take her chart to read her chart. And I took out the blood test results. And on the blood test results, from the day before to this day, to this morning, her kidney function just suddenly returned, which is not how return of kidney function usually works.
And she didn't require the shunt?
She did not. And I called the doctor, you know, because he was getting dressed for the procedure. And I called him and I said, these blood tests show that she has normal kidney function. And I said, you know, is there a mistake here? And he took the sheet and he started reading all the blood test results. And he goes, I don't understand this. And I just remember him saying, I don't understand this. And he goes, there must have been an error. And I said, I don't want you doing anything until you get another blood test result. And he said, okay. He goes, we're going to draw some blood. Sure enough, she had her kidney function back. She never even required that surgery. And that came from one day to another.
Now, what about the crystals, though? Where are we at with that?
They just disappeared. Yeah, they disappeared. They never came back.
And the colon cancer?
The colon cancer has been in remission. She's had a couple of minor surgeries, which is also another blessing, because in the beginning they were saying that she would need a colostomy. She doesn't need one. She's been fine with it. She's been in remission for a while now. It's another little miracle in itself.
And when did your mother finally walk out of the hospital? I mean, we're going back to September 1995. We're up to April at least. When did your mother finally walk out of the hospital?
She came home on August 15th in 1996.
August 15th, the day of the Assumption, the Feast of the Assumption.
Yes. I remember thinking about that. I remember I said, I know today is a holy day.
The Feast of the Assumption. Well, Our Lady of the Assumption, Rosa, you finally walked out of the hospital. Boy, what were your feelings that day?
When I walked to the hospital, I'm all right. Thank God.
Yes. Yeah, that's for sure. Absolutely, thank God.
Even physical therapy didn't think she was going to be able to walk again. And they said, because being that she was in the coma, it did something to a part of the brain that, you know, affected her mobility. And she's walking. So, you know.
Even with the help of the cane, but I'm walking. And I know I'm going to walk.
You're going to walk, so you're going to even improve even more?
Yes, I do.
She's going to go swimming. swimming. She's going to go swimming in our pool.
Oh, good, good. That's great. Really a wonderful story. And Maria, obviously you were quite persistent in all this. And why do you think Our Lady, the good Lord, blessed you with this miracle, blessed your mother with this miracle?
I think she had compassion. I really do. I used to always tell her, I said, you know, she as a mother would understand how my mother was to me. And it was a gift. To me, it was just a gift that I got.
Rosa, you obviously are a miracle. What would you attribute this grace to? I mean, who do you think gave you this miracle?
Our Lady of the Roses.
Maria, would you attribute the graces that you've received at the Shrine Grounds for your courage and perseverance and your persistence with your mother's crisis?
Definitely, yeah, definitely. After I started going to the vigils at Bayside, I remember just always really feeling even better. You know, just a good feeling inside is the only way I could describe it.
Do you still see Dr. Crowell? And what are his thoughts now?
Yes, we see the Dr. Crowell every 3 months.
Does he say anything, yes. Rosa, every time he sees her?
Every time he sees her, he always goes, amazing.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. That's all he said.
And I think St. Teresa and Our Lady of the Roses wants Rosa proclaimed to the world, and they want it made known that Our Lady of the Roses, Mary Help of Mothers, is appearing in Bayside, New York, and is dispensing powerful graces of cure and conversion. And they want the world to know to come here.
Yes.
This is an oasis, a refuge of grace. Mm-hmm. Come here, and perhaps you too may be the beneficiary of a miracle mm-hmm. cure like your mother was. Well, again, thank you very much, Maria. Thank you very much, Rosa. And how's that chicken soup, by the way?
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Michael and Rosa. And a very special thanks to Maria for her excellent coverage of this story, outside of which this interview would have not been possible. Today's story is certainly a lesson in persistence in prayer, and a lesson for all those who have but a half-hearted regard for life, and who are all too quick to pull the plug when the medical authorities blow the death whistle. In our busy, distracted world, we have forgotten that the God who gave us life can very easily restore that life if we will simply give him a chance and show him that we care. If there is one thing that pleases God and draws his favor, it's when we take him at his word and we believe in his power. And heaven has stated that the power from heaven will be known through the roses blessed at their sacred grounds. For those of you who might be suffering from terminal illness or spiritual illness or otherwise, you are being given this chance to employ the power of heaven and put the darkness of Satan to flight. Because we tell you truly, what happened to Rosa Campanero can also happen to you, just as it has happened to countless people throughout the world who have availed themselves of these roses from heaven. We invite you to write in today for your free Blessed Rose Petal and information packet. Our mailing address is St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, Post Office Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Or you can call our toll-free line. That's 1-800-345-MARY. And for a mere donation of $4, we will send you a cassette copy of today's show so that you can share with your friends the saving power of God. And that just about wraps it up for today. Please join us again next week as we continue with this incredible story of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside. Until then, may Our Lady bless you, and may she shower you with graces in abundance.